16th chapter of First Chronicles. 16th chapter of First Chronicles. Remember, if you will, we said we were going to kind of be going back and forth between 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles to kind of show how both books kind of helped us to really get the total revelation from God on what was going on in David's life during this particular time. If you'll remember, they were trying to get the Ark of the Covenant to the city of Jerusalem. The first time, it didn't go too well because Uzzah touched it and he dropped dead. Discouraged David, he goes back into Jerusalem, leaves the ark there with a Israelite family, and somebody comes to David and said, "You know, things are going really well for that guy. You remember where we left the ark? Well, he's doing really good." So David then begins to figure out, well, what do we need to do? Has anybody thought about how he figured out what they needed to do?
Well, the presence of God was.
Okay, but I mean, how did he figure out how to get the ark from where it was to Jerusalem?
He went back and looked at how they were supposed to do it.
Absolutely. He did a little Bible study. He went back and reread what Moses told the children of Israel back at Mount Sinai. And then that's where he begins to call the Levites together. And then make the proper movement of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And he, of course, in the Chronicles, we find out that he calls all the priests in and he said, "Sanctify yourself." So you see, he knew the second time, instead of just throwing that ark up in the cart like the Philistines moved it, we're going to do a little research. We're going to look and see what the Bible says, and we're going to find out how does God want us to do this. You know, wouldn't it be nice if people had that attitude today? Every time they wanted to know something religiously, if they would say, "Well, I wonder where that's mentioned in the Bible," and find out where it is and go look it up. But we want the easy way. We'd rather someone tell us. Somebody may tell us wrong. Sometimes we want to do it our way, and that gets us in trouble. But David learned the hard way that he had to find out what God said through Moses. He does that, calls the Levites together, begins to organize the Levites and sanctify the Levites. Remember, that's what Moses told them when he first instructed them as to the moving the Ark of the Covenant as they left Sinai. Now remember also we said that there was three names that we were going to watch for that was included in this moving of the Ark of the Covenant. And we found those names in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. One of them was Ethan. One of them was Heman. And the other was Asaph. Remember, they were instrumental in not only the moving of the Ark of the Covenant, but they, along with David, are going to write a number of the Psalms. For example, if you would like to write down some Psalms that we're going to be looking at in our study in the future, this would be a good time to do it. We're going to look at Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 89. And you're going to notice that that is a psalm that was written by this man, Ethan. Then we're going to read Psalms 110 and Psalms 132. So once we get through our study tonight in Chronicles and back in 2 Samuel, get the ark located in Jerusalem, we're going to look at these Psalms. And as we get through 1 Chronicles, we'll see why these Psalms come in at the time that they do. Remember, if you will, it says in verse 1 of chapter 16, they brought the ark of God, set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. When David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. And you're going to notice that this Asaph, Ethan, Heman are going to be three men that play a very instrumental part in the worship service once they get the Ark of the Covenant in this tent that David had created in Jerusalem. Notice also, if you will, in chapter 16, it shows where that they organized the worship service and what David went through to get that done. And then notice, if you will, what happens in chapter 17 of the Chronicles. They've got the Ark of the Covenant back in Jerusalem. Now it came to pass, in verse 1 of 17, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." Then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thy heart, for God is with you." Did you get to read ahead a little bit? Does anybody know kind of how that turned out? Nathan said, "Okay, David, go ahead."
God rejected him.
God spoke to Nathan. And he said, "You know, Nathan, what you need to do? You need to go back and tell David that I don't want him to build my house." Now notice what he does. You'll notice what he says and how he goes about it. Verse 3, "It came the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David, my servant, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in." And then he explains why in the preceding verses. "For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent." from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I walked with all Israel, spake I a word to all the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore thus saith, Thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people. I have been with thee wheresoever thou walkest, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel. I will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. Since that time I commanded judges to be over my people. Moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house, and it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, and thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I'll be his father, he'll be my son. I'll not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. I'll settle him in my house and my kingdom forever. His throne shall be established forever. Who's he talking about?
Jesus.
How you know that?
Solomon was going to be the one to build the temple.
How do we know that? Where do we learn that?
He's not going to be there forever.
No, that's a good point. We want to talk about that. But how do we know it's Solomon? He said here it's going to be one of his sons.
I think he's talking about Jesus.
Well, it's one of his sons. Yeah. Well, in Kings we find out that he was.
Okay. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Now, when you start chapter 22, David's an old man. He recognizes that he is not going to build this house. His son is, and he begins to collect the material that's going to be needed for it. And notice what it says. Verse 2 of chapter 22. David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. He set masons to hew rope stones to build the house, prepared iron in abundance for nails for the doors and gates, for the joinings and the brass in abundance without weight, cedar trees in abundance from the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent of fame, of glory throughout all the countries. Look at verse 6. Then they called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. David said to Solomon, My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly. Hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. His name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. So notice, if you will, how this revelation comes about. You see why, if you looked at 2 Samuel, we wouldn't get all the details in this, and especially the chronological background of all these priests and Levites that were going to be influential in organizing and working in the temple once it was completed. Because remember, if you will, when we're looking at the Chronicles, we're looking at the life of the priesthood, the priest, and the worship. When we're looking at 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, we're looking at the life of the kings. They both work together. They both reigned together. They both lived and worshiped together. So you can kind of see how the two books, 1 and 2 Chronicles, as well as the Kings and, of course, 1 and 2 Samuel, blend and fill right in with the with each other. Now we're going to notice, by looking at these Psalms, how that some of these Psalms tie right into the same section. Because we've already raised question in our mind. We said back a few chapters ago, who was it? We weren't told. We knew it was going to be one of David's sons. But he had a lot of sons because he had a lot of wives. Different sons. We turn over here and we find out it's one specific son. And who did not pick him? David didn't. God said, you're going to have a son and his name's going to be Solomon and he's going to build my house. And he's going to sit on your throne. And he's going to reign how long, David? Forever. And David made a good point. He said, he can't reign forever. How do we know that? Because he's going to die. He's an earthly king. You made a point. Look like who?
Jesus.
Look like Jesus. So we're going to see how these prophetic statements are made. That if we just are nearsighted, we're not going to see it in its full picture. All right, now let's go back and let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, if you go back to 2 Samuel 6, remember, if you will, in verse 9 of chapter 6, he raised the question, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Well, we've looked at Chronicles, and we've seen exactly how the ark got to David. He got his head in the book. He learned what God wanted him to know about moving it, what God told Moses as to how to move it, and he went and did it that way. Now the Ark of the Covenant is where? It's in Jerusalem. It's in the tent that David built for it. We also learned in the Chronicles that David begins to think. He talks to Nathan the prophet. Said, I don't feel good about this. I'm living in a house of cedar. It's beautiful. And we're worshiping God in a tent. And the Ark of the Covenant that we brought is sitting in that tent. And look at me in my house of cedar. I need to build God a house. And we also learned how that David learned that God said, no, no, I will determine when and if I'm going to dwell in the house, because I've been living in tents ever since we left Sinai. Isn't that beautiful to know that God was with them? And isn't it good for us to know today that God's with us?
Amen.
God was with them in those tents. And he said, here's how I want it done. And we read in the Chronicles, you see how the two work so good together and how you pick up things in one book that you don't get in the other. And I don't know about you, but if I was just to read 1 and 2 Samuel and not read 1 and 2 Chronicles, if I was just going to read 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, and then 6 or 8, 10 months later, I said, you know, I'm going to go read the Chronicles. First of all, when I flipped to the Chronicles and I saw all those lineages, you know what I'd do? More than likely, David said, flipping pages. you wouldn't read it. But you see, when we really kind of look at it and say, whoa, man, look what this shows us. And you see how that you look at it from a chronological standpoint. You see what we're doing as we go through the Bible. We're looking at it in its chronological order. We're covering a great deal of the historical background of the country as we come through it from the old to the new. And then we're following the seed line. The seed line starting back in Genesis 3:15, and we're going to follow the seed line all the way through until the seed comes and is born. And so, that's the reason the chronological, the historical, and the seed line, when you look at that in addition to the text itself, it just kind of opens things up for you. It has helped me so much to be able to see it that way. Now notice what happens. We've got the Ark of the Covenant now back in Jerusalem in the tent. David wants to build the house. Now we'll read it from Samuel's perspective. Chapter 7, verse 1. It came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about all the enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth in curtains. Now Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time I brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to this day, but have walked in the tent and in the tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, took thee out of the sheep goat from following the sheep to be ruler over my people Israel, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest to cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. Have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are of the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded the judges to be over my people Israel, have caused thee to rest from all thy enemies. Also, the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. David was going to be told who, what was going to happen. He said, I'm going to make what? Jehovah God speaking to Nathan the prophet. He says, you go and tell David what? I'm going to build you who? David a house, which is going to be the temple at Jerusalem. So we're now we can see from Chronicles' standpoint, from Samuel's standpoint, David's house and God's house are what?
The same
house. David's throne, God's throne, is going to be what?
In the same house.
Same throne. And who's going to sit on that throne eventually? Christ. Jesus. David's son. Going to come from his lineage. Now let's look a little further. This is beautiful. Listen to this. Verse 12. When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be his father. He'll be my son. If he commit iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But, my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went David in and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant for thy word's sake, according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. There is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard for our ears. And what a nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people for himself, to make him a name and to do for him great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt from the nations of their God. Tells you something about the heart of David, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
You see why that... You see, God could have utilized Saul and his group or his lineage. But he knew that wasn't going to work. In his foreknowledge, he knew. He's going to take what he tells Samuel. I'm going to get me a man after my own heart. Now, you see what... Pardon?
You see that in the Psalms.
Yes, we're going to really see that in the Psalms. We really are. Now, you see how when you compile the two books, the Chronicles and Samuel together, how you gather something from Chronicles that you didn't get from Samuel, you pick up something.
You can see
from
how
Samuel.
Some stuff can be took out of context, too,
yes,
if you don't
can.
Watch it.
You sure can. Yeah. You sure can. You can see how things can just be pulled out of context.
Well, what I'm saying is one fills the blanks of the other. One fills the blanks of the other.
Yes, it does.
You have blanks filled that you didn't know before by reading.
Yes.
Reading
yes.
This alone.
They complement one another, don't they?
Do.
They really do. And now, there's a lot of questions that, by looking at both writings, that we've still got to fill in. Because there's some things said that's kind of hard for the man, for a person to wrap their minds around. Because we know, for an example, what's not going to happen to this kingdom that they're talking about right here?
Not going to last forever.
Pardon?
It's not going to last forever.
It's not going to last forever.
It's contingent on obedience.
Yeah, don't you remember that? What did he say he was going to do if they didn't be faithful? He's going to take the rod to them. He's going to take the rod to them. Now, the first one of these Psalms we want to look at, we want to start Sunday morning looking at Psalms chapter 89. Remember, if you will, this is a psalm written by Ethan. And what we're going to be doing, we're going to be kind of fast following into the future. David, remember, is going to die before this happens. Solomon is going to die, and the kingdom is going to be divided. God's going to take it away, 10 of the 12 tribes. Take it away from Solomon. We're going to be looking at some activities that are taking place